From the Coliseum in Des Moines, scene of the Republican State Convention, we're about to present a rebroadcast of the keynote address by Senator George A. Wilson of Des Moines. This address is brought to you on special transcription under the auspices of the Republican State Central Committee.
I greet you because I know that you are truly representative of a grand people who believe in the Republican system of representative government and believe that the American citizenship is worthy of being preserved. Never before has this American citizenship become so precious. No person can be happy in slavery or in any condition approaching dependence and the denial of free will. Yet it is true that history will record a dismal chapter for our time. The world crisis of today is just one phase of that old and never to be ended struggle for mastery. But in this struggle, the quality of the American citizenship is the beacon light. It is a personal dedication to the great cause that government by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Above all else, it is a belief that law and justice should rule the affairs of men and nations. All about us lies the evidence of what has been accomplished by free enterprise within the circle of this citizenship. Action, however, is not all. No people can ever live isolated and as hermits. The human interests and obligations are so completely interlaced and extended that all the world, is one family of humans. If American citizenship is worthwhile, then it is worthwhile to engage in service that is in harmony with the high ideals of the American people. Our citizenship will not reach its full fruition when civilian officers of our government are dominated by the military. The present administration has followed a militaristic policy. As a member of Congress, I have steadfastly opposed the military trend of placing the military in civilian offices. Two, I have opposed centralization of government in Washington, and I shall continue to be outspoken and vigorous and offer vigorous opposition to these violations of the spirit of the Constitution. There can be no permanent foreign policy unless it is the upsurging of the considered judgment of the people. The people cannot formulate and arrive at a sound judgment unless and until the curtain of secrecy is removed and they are given the facts. Our people are of age and are capable of formulating sound judgment. This is not possible for them to formulate a judgment when this military veil of secrecy is extended over into peacetime operations. There is an inherent danger in condoning secrecy in national or state affairs. I repeat again, the people can be trusted. They should know. They should judge. And they should determine our course of action. That is in accordance with the Republican system of representative government. During consideration by the Congress of the plan to furnish or give to the European countries $1 billion of worth of American funds and material, I noticed in the paper a little excerpt where it said that Britain and Russia had entered into a trade agreement. It occurred to me, perhaps I was wrong, I'd do it again, however, that that might be of interest to our people. So I wrote to the Secretary of State, asking him if he would please furnish me a copy of that agreement. After 10, 12, or 13 days or thereabouts, I had no response from my letter. Yet upon the floor of the Senate of the United States and in your Congress, the issue was being determined. I sent a telegram to the Secretary of State, asked him, would he please respond to my letter? Bear this in mind, my fellow Americans. Bear this in mind when you come down and go to your shareholders convention on November. Determine whether or not you want a continuation of this. Let me give you the answer. I have no prejudice against any nation. This is what, and I have it here, if there's any question about it, I have the letters here from the Secretary of State, and this is the answer I get. That the Secretary of State's Department has several copies of this agreement. They're being used, according to his own quotation, hourly. There must have been some interest to the United States, or they wouldn't have been being used hourly. Therefore, he couldn't let me have a copy of it. He couldn't have it photostatted. And when I suggested if he was short of help, I'd send some of the clerical help out of my own office down to make a copy, I'd get back an answer of this kind. And you're entitled to know it. Kind of makes my high blood pressure run pretty strong. Now, I was further advised. I can purchase a copy of the trade agreement from His Britannic Majesty's stationery office in New York City for a small stipend. I refuse to be a party to a continuation of any administration that has that idea about our form of government. Thomas C. Dewey, the standard bearer of our party, is a man able to cope with these problems. He is the kind of a man the American people want for president. A typical American. In short, he is an all-round American, a fearless leader, and will put our house in order and protect our interests abroad. As for his running mate, the great governor of the grand state of California, all that has been said for the candidate for president may well be said for Earl Warren. In all, we have a ticket composed of keen and able members. I ought not perhaps say this. Of the 80th Congress. Self praise might be half scandal, but let it go. They have demonstrated their devotion to the Republic and the principles of the Republican system of representative government, they have not been ashamed at any time to recognize the fact that the Constitution of the United States is still the greatest living document, and that the things set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights are worthy for breakfast table discussion. Then coming down and adding to this fine ticket, we include for the office of governor the Honorable William S. Beardsley, whom I have known for many years and with whom I served in the State Senate of Iowa, a man whose ability and courage has long been recognized in our state. Our nation must be strong enough to demonstrate that men can be trusted to govern themselves. To function properly, our government must be on a sound financial basis. We must pinch off needless spending and put the United States on a pay-as-you-go basis. You remember how you and I put Iowa's ledger in the black a few years ago after a dismal display of reckless financing by the opposition party. These same principles can and must be applied nationally. A nation continually burdened by debt cannot long maintain its place in the world. Our nation must be strong enough to demonstrate that men can be trusted to govern themselves, to function properly. Our government must be on a sound financial basis. We must pinch off needless spending and put the United States on a pay-as-you-go basis. You remember how you and I put Iowa's ledger in the black a few years ago after a dismal display of reckless financing by the opposition party. These same principles can and must be applied nationally. A nation continually burdened by debt cannot long maintain its place in the world. Indeed, the opportunity is here to give the nation a spiritual rebirth, to call the people to the great adventure of living the life of freedom, to show the world just what free men can accomplish. The great turning point of human progress were made real by the unrestrained energy of free men on the farms and in the factories. The party assumed real leadership and challenged all men to step forth and reclaim their birthright. If we do this, we will justify the people in returning us to power. We will have mortared up the cornerstone of freedom that has been so ruthlessly assaulted. I know full well your party and mine will respond to this challenge. And here and now, I pledge you my utmost effort and energy until the shareholders' convention come November. Thank you so much.
From the Coliseum in Des Moines, seen today of the Republican State Convention, we have just brought you a rebroadcast of the keynote address by Senator George A. Wilson of Des Moines. This address was brought to you on special transcription under the auspices of the Republican State Central Committee.